The first sermon. I would like for you to open your Bibles, please, to two portions of Scripture. We will look at both of these, so take your bulletin and put it in one, and take the bulletin insert, which you hopefully have already started to read, in the second one. Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, and Revelation chapter 19. Romans chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 19. This is Memorial Day. And I don't believe enough is said about this day in many of our churches today. And I'm not sure how much is said about it in other venues, whether they be schools or clubs or whatever. And so I want to take some time today to talk to you about Memorial Day. Some of you may remember that last year, Goshen College decided to start playing the national anthem at their sporting events, for which I applaud them. However, when they started doing that, a number of students wrote a letter to President Jim Brenneman and mailed copies of the letter to various board members. And they encouraged the leadership of the college to reverse what they called this experiment. I want to read to you portions of their letter and then make comments on it. Here's what their letter said, and you can sign the petition online if you want to. They presented 1,200 and some signatures. Here's what they say: acquiescing to a public ritual. Now they're talking about singing or playing the national anthem. Acquiescing to a public ritual that glorifies the nation state is an issue that affects more than Goshen Community College or the Mennonite Church. When Christians glorify their nation over another nation, they chip away at ecumenical fellowship, making this an issue for all Christians seeking to be faithful to the only God worthy of glory and praise. They go on to say, at the heart of the national anthem is a message that glorifies war and violence for one nation's benefit. These themes are inherent in the words themselves, the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, and so on. And they are inherent to the ways in which the anthem is used to inspire patriotic fervor. They go on to say that the very habit of playing the national anthem before sporting events arises out of the World War II era, when baseball became a stage for nationalistic displays. They also say in their letter, the national anthem also promotes the United States over and against other nations, violating Christian internationalism and worldwide fellowship. In an attempt to be hospitable to American patriots, we believe Goshen College's decision rejects a higher call to be transnational, a transnational body that resists the boundaries set by nations. Furthermore, the institution is compromising its witness to the world by intentionally aligning itself with an entity that has engaged in militarism, oppression, and imperialism since its inception. Finally, we believe that the playing of the national anthem before sporting events is a formative ritual that will be detrimental to the community of Goshen College. It gives allegiance to America first. Goes on to say, Goshen College prides itself on being a place that can heal the world piece by piece. And they spell the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, piece by piece. And so their final plea is, we pray and hope that you will take the first step in this vision of healing the world piece by piece. They're writing to the leaders of Goshen College. We hope that you will take this first step by resisting the war song that looms in your own backyard. We want to encourage you to reverse your decision to make the national anthem a part of your life together. So that is the student's plea to the leadership at Goshen College. And so let me make a few comments. I hope that you were able to digest some of those words, because I'm going to comment on them and give us what I believe is some biblical instruction on this issue. Even though I deeply respect their right to petition and to write letters and to oppose and do all that, I take issue with them on several points. These young folks, I'm sure, are sincere, and I respect them for speaking what they believe, but I disagree with them on several points. First of all, they were correct when they said that the national anthem is used to inspire patriotic fervor, but I would ask, what's wrong with that? Second, when I sing the national anthem, I'm not acquiescing to a public ritual that glorifies a nation state. I am expressing thanks for a great place to live. Nor am I giving allegiance to America first over Christ, who is second. I am simply rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and giving honor to whom honor is due. Third, when I sing the national anthem, I am not chipping away at ecumenical fellowship, nor am I violating what they call Christian internationalism and worldwide fellowship by promoting the United States over and against other nations. I am, when I sing the national anthem, extolling our nation above other nations, because our nation for many years has provided an atmosphere of freedom and capitalism, which in turn has led to people in our country serving missionaries that go all over the world to tell people not about the United States of America, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourth, the students signing the petition imply that we can't be faithful to our God if we honor our country. On the contrary, being faithful to the Lord requires that we be loyal, submissive citizens of our country and that we give honor to whom honor is due. The text that you have before you in Romans 13, I would like to read it to you as you follow along in your Bibles. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is a minister of God to thee. You're not talking about preachers here. They're talking about civic leaders. They're talking about governmental leaders. He is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. And remember, we've talked about that sword. They didn't use it for haircuts. They did use it for haircuts, but they were flat tops. And the top was right about here on the neck. That's what it was. They bear not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, to a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, for this cause. And here's the verse. Pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually on this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So when I sing the national anthem, I am honoring those who set up this government so that we can meet here this morning and do whatever we want. Back to my list. Fifth, the petition states that because the words rockets, red glare, bombs bursting in air, etc., the national anthem is a war song that glorifies violence for one nation's benefit. I disagree again. The heart of the anthem is glorification of freedom that was won by brave people who put it on the line for the good of others. Yes, they used rockets and bombs, but that was because words, speeches, and diplomacy would not do the job of securing our freedom. Six, you're saying, boy, how many points does he have? Well, you just be patient with me here, will you? All right. Sixth, the petitions, by the way, this is the last point, but it's a long one. The petition states that Goshen College's decision to play the anthem rejects a higher call to be a transnational body that resists the boundaries set by the nations. Nations, my friend, are not responsible for setting the boundaries. If you will jot this down and look up Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. It says, God has made of one blood all nations. You're turning to it. Acts 17, 26 and 27. That's all right. That means you're listening. Acts 17, 26 and 27 says, God has made of one blood all nations for men to dwell on the face of the earth, and God has determined the times before appointed, and God has determined the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. God is the one who put the lines between nations. He started that practice back at Babel. And he's going to obliterate the practice of nations getting together someday when he takes over. Meanwhile, it is God's plan for nations to exist in this world, and I believe personally that part of the reason for that is so that people will have some sense of unrest so that they might seek God. And they won't be proud in their one nation idea of the world. This petition ends with a plea to the president. It says, Goshen College prides itself on being a place that can heal the world piece by piece. We pray and hope that you will take the first step in this vision by resisting the war song that looms in your own backyard and encourage you to reverse your decision to make the national anthem a part of your life together. Now, folks, bless your bones and bless the bones of those young students that wrote this. I respect them. I wish it were true that we could heal this world piece by piece. But only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can do that. And do you know how he's going to do it? Look at your passage in Revelation chapter 19. He is going to bring peace by war. Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11. This is speaking of the time when the Lord Jesus is going to come back to earth someday and set everything straight. And by the way, I'm going to be talking about that in our second message today and this evening as well. Revelation 19 and 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and, make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Look at that picture, the winepress. What do they do with the winepress? A bunch of ladies got in this big bowl, this big tub type thing, and they stomped out the grapes to make the wine. God is going to stomp out wickedness. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, all the birds, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. They're going to feast on the dead bodies of people that will be slain in this great war, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So folks, Christians are not going to heal this world piece by piece. The Prince of Peace is going to bring peace to this world, to the entire world, by an act of war. Just like the Second World War brought peace for many years. Because of the sinfulness of mankind, you cannot have peace without power. So today is Memorial Day weekend. It's a time in our nation when we honor the memory of many who have gone to war and given their lives for our freedom. They gave up all of their tomorrow so that we could have today. Dislike of war is understandable. But denial of the necessity of war is naive. Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars clear to the end. And James explained why. He said, from whence come wars and fightings? They come of your own lusts that war in your members. That is, we have war because of the sinful nature of mankind. Back in the 70s, the hippies said, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a war and nobody showed up? Well, someone will always show up. And because of the sinfulness of mankind, you may not like it because those people want to take away your freedom. If everyone in World War II had believed the way the hippies believed back in the 60s and 70s, they wouldn't have been saying, peace, brother. They would have been saying, Heil Hitler. And the Goshen College students would not have the freedom to speak the way they do today. War exists because of the sinfulness of mankind. We don't want war. We don't like war. Oh, if we could just get rid of the sinful natures of people, we could get rid of war. But alas, alas, sinners are born every minute, and they grow up and prove it. And many of these allow their natures to compel them to cruelty, violence, aggression, and wickedness. So what shall we do? Shall we have a peace march? Go ahead and have one, but you know what? That peace march will not stop one evil person, not one, from being an aggressor. Those folks who are going to be aggressors will be stopped by power and nothing else. They will snicker and smile and continue to be violent if we show weakness. Shall we ban all guns and weapons? Oh, go ahead, but that will do nothing but embolden wicked men who will refuse to obey the ban and will then set their sights on us because they see we are so vulnerable. And they will take advantage of our naivete, and we will soon become their slaves. Thankfully, many people, many individual American citizens in the past did not participate in peace marches, petitions, or weapon banning crusades. Instead, they took up arms and they fought for our freedom. They went to the front lines so that we could live peaceably behind those front lines. They fought and died, not because they hated the people in front of them, but because they loved the people behind them. And as I said, they sacrificed all of their tomorrows so that we could have today. That's why I take time in this service, on this day. We honor their memory. And we honor their families who said goodbye to them when they got on the boat or the airplane and never saw them again. We honor them and will never say goodbye to their memory. Someone has written well these words: the preacher did not give us freedom of religion, the soldier did. The reporter did not give us freedom of the press, the soldier did. The poet did not give us freedom of speech, the soldier did. The campus organizer did not give us freedom to demonstrate and petition, the soldier did. The lawyer did not give us a right to a fair trial, the soldier did. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag that has purchased our freedom. And today we honor those men and women in all branches of the service who died so that we could be free. That's what Memorial Day is about. Christians ought to know that. We ought to understand what the Bible says, and we ought to render honor to whom honor is due. Let's stand together, please, and let's sing that war song. I mean, the national anthem. Say thank you for the privilege of living in this country. We thank you for our freedoms. We grieve over what we see in much of our leadership and the direction of our nation, but we rejoice in the freedom we still have. We ask you to have mercy upon us. We ask, God, that this day, Memorial Day weekend, we would remember and be thankful that in your sovereignty, we were born in this place. May we not use our freedom as a license to sin, but instead may we use our freedom as something that enables us to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and love other people and minister to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may